Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start. The Toyota BZ for smooth, everyday driving. The BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability. The all-new CHR for an instant, responsive drive. It's not just electric, it's Toyota Electric. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back into the Punt and Pass podcast. I'm your host, Drew Butler, joined by my co-host, Aaron Murray. And Aaron, it's Wednesday. It's conference championship week. We're giving it to the people one show each day leading up to what is sure to be an awesome weekend of college football that will decide who goes to the college football playoff. For the 2017 season, we have had a lot of interaction on social media throughout the week already. Please continue to do so. We are at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram. Aaron is at AaronMurray11. I am at DrewButler13. And if you've been looking at our social media accounts, you will know by now that Friday night, that's right, this Friday night, December the 1st, Aaron and I will be doing a live taping of the Punt and Pass podcast at the Sweetwater Brewery in Atlanta. It's free to go to. Admission is free. Come hang out with us. We'll be doing a live taping of the podcast. We're going to have a great time. We're getting geared up for an awesome weekend of football in the SEC Championship and, of course, drinking delicious Sweetwater beer. We also mentioned yesterday that we're going to be at the SEC Fan Fair this Friday from 4 to 4:45. Aaron and I will be on the press box stage answering questions in an interview format, and that will be really fun. And then, Aaron, I heard you break this news yesterday on 680 The Fan with Buck and Kincaid. We will be at Stats on Saturday. I'm not sure of the time yet. It's going to be before the game, probably around 11 or noon. And again, if you're going to be in there tailgating around the College Football Hall of Fame area before heading into Mercedes-Benz Stadium, come hang out with Aaron and I. We're going to be hanging out a little bit afterwards before we both head into the game. But, dude, what a great idea by us collectively to do a show each day, a little update show each day. We're going to start breaking down games tomorrow, so be sure to tune back in. But so much news breaking this week. You and I were texting throughout the entire day yesterday because it seems like every single 10 minutes or so, a new update pops up on the phone, and we've got college football news breaking.
Yeah, it's all over the place. It's making it fun, though. It's making it a fun week. And I know we're toying with the idea, and we're always trying to evolve here at the Punt Pass. Next season, maybe having a little bit more update shows. I think it's fun. I just think there's too much going on with players, coaches, obviously the playoffs coming out last night to talk about. So the more the merrier, man. We're just going to keep bringing the news, and hopefully you guys enjoy it.
No question. All right, so let's just jump right into it. Biggest news yesterday, it was developing earlier in the day that Tennessee was meeting with Oklahoma State head coach Mike Gundy. They were in Stillwater, or they were in Dallas meeting with Gundy and his agent and his family, pitching them. It was reported that Peyton Manning had called Mike Gundy on his own, selling the Tennessee football program to him. They brought the private jet out there. People thought that they might have been picking Mike Gundy up, but it was in the evening said that Mike Gundy turned down Tennessee at $7 million per year. So two things to look at here, Aaron. One, Tennessee's not messing around. They've got money to play with. I mean, this would almost double what Kirby Smart is making at the University of Georgia. And two, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, there is absolutely in no world a situation where you go and offer Greg Schiano a job over Mike Gundy.
Yeah, they're desperate right now. It's really, they're looking just to throw any amount of money. And obviously it's Tennessee. They have deep roots. They have big pockets to kind of go out there and spend money right now. They just got to find someone willing to bite, and it's going to be hard with all that's going on right now at Tennessee, especially after the Shiano incident that happened a few days ago. I don't know what coach would want to go there that doesn't have ties to Tennessee already. I mean, yeah, look at the names right now that have, you know, kind of already pushed them aside. Obviously, Gundy last night, Jimbo Fisher said no, Dan Mullen said no, David Cutcliffe has said no. It's just, I mean, they're throwing money at these guys. They're doubling their salaries, and they're still saying no. It's just there has to be something, maybe something else going on that these coaches are looking at this program and saying, listen, maybe it's not worth the money. Maybe it's because the stress of the job, the stress of trying to rebuild this program, and it's just not worth it at the end of the day, especially if you don't do a good job and you're gone in 3 years. The security is just not there. And at the end of the day, I think these guys want to feel secure in their jobs. I think they're all in great places where they don't want to leave.
No, you're exactly right. And there is something going on from the outsider's perspective, maybe one that hasn't really been diving too much into the situation. You know, a lazy take would point to the social media reaction of the announced Greg Schiano hire. I mean, I thought it was rightfully justified. People are upset with what's been going on at Tennessee and the football program for the past 10 years, Aaron. I mean, it's been 10 years since they've been legitimately relevant. And they don't want another...
Since old Dooley.
Exactly.
It's been since the Dooley hire, which was very bizarre. I think everyone agrees that... when they hired him, it was just like, what? Are you kidding me? Yeah. With his flamboyant pants going on the sidelines. It's
no,
just
totally...
like, you're Tennessee, man. You can't be doing this kind of hire. I know he, you know, the name has deep roots, obviously, with, you know, Coach Dooley in Georgia. But, you know, it started since then. And it's just been just down world every year with coaches. And they just can't seem to pick a winner, which is just mind-blowing. One, because obviously the money that they have to spend on these guys. And
exactly.
Two, the deep tradition that Tennessee has with winning championships and competing for championships and the fact that no one wants to go there is almost comical at this point.
Well, that leads me to my point. The reason they don't want to go there, I think, is the ineptitude of the athletic department. And in specific, John Curry, the athletic director. It's been said that Jimmy Haslam, who is a co-owner or majority owner of the Cleveland Browns and a gigantic booster for the University of Tennessee, pretty much calls the shots for John Curry. That's why, you know, he's the owner and the CEO of Pilot J Gas Station Companies, which is based out of Ohio. And everybody says that's why he wanted to get Greg Schiano in there. A couple people told Jimmy Haslam, hey, Greg's a great coach. And they announced that they were going to hire him. That's unbelievable to me. So coaches are looking at this going, man, I don't care how much money you throw at me. Why would I want to work for, I wouldn't go as far to say a corrupt, but an inept athletic department. That's your boss. You guys have to be on the same page. And if you're not, there's a lot of trouble there. So going back to yesterday's show, Aaron, I still think T. Martin is a possibility. I don't know where else Tennessee will go. If you stay atop our social media feeds, I'm sure we will be able to continue to break down what is going on with the Tennessee head coaching vacancy. Another news bit that broke yesterday, Mississippi State found their coach, Joe Moorhead, the offensive coordinator of Penn State. Penn State did have a pretty dominant offense the past couple seasons with Trace McSorley at quarterback, Saquon Barkley at running back. Everybody crowned Saquon Barkley the Heisman winner about week 4 or 5, Aaron. I think you remember that. Baker Mayfield seemed to take that over, but reading the news articles about Joe Moorhead last night, it seems like Mississippi State had a home run hire, and I also read that he will try to keep Todd Grantham. So a little tug of war between Dan Mullen and Joe Moorhead.
I don't know if he wants that.
Yeah, any thoughts on Joe Moorhead though?
Yo, exciting stuff. I mean, he's a big, look at the stats for Penn State the past 2 years. This year, averaging a little over 41 points per game. Last year, 37 points per game. And then going back, he was, before that, previously, he was the coach at Fordham, the Fordham Rams from 2012 to 2015. They're 38-13 before he headed up to Penn State. So this is a great coach. He has some experience as a head coach. Obviously, he's had a lot of success in just 2 seasons in Penn State. He's very creative as an offensive coordinator. He's fun to watch. Their offense is fun to watch. Obviously, they've been balling out these past 2 seasons. So that's a great hire, kind of a guy that has flown out under the radar a little bit, but a guy who is creative offensively, has, like I said, has shown that he can be a head coach. My only problem is obviously he really doesn't have a lot of ties to the SEC.
Yeah.
When it comes to that's going to hurt him a little bit when it comes to recruiting, where to go, who to get, trying to reel those guys in, because it is a competitive race right now in the SEC to bring these guys to their school. So he's going to be at a little bit of a disadvantage at that, which I'm sure why he needs, say, a Todd Grantham, who has been the SEC, whose name is very recognizable to these kids, to these families. So if he's able to keep him, I think from a recruiting standpoint, that will help him out a lot. But coaching wise, he looks like a home run as a coach. It'll be interesting to see if he continues to call plays next year as offensive coordinator.
He's going to have his hands full, not only in the SEC, more specifically in the SEC West, and most specifically with the expectations at Mississippi State that Dan Mullen has installed in Starkville. Good hire for them, as I'm seeing. We'll be interested to see how he fills out that coaching staff. Okay, the next bit of news, which made me laugh. As most people know, I lived in Arizona for 3.5 years. Pretty familiar with the Arizona State program. News breaking last night that they have singled out ESPN's Herm Edwards to be a viable coaching candidate to fulfill their vacancy. Aaron, I text you this last night, or better yet, you texted me that Arizona State was looking at Herm Edwards, and I said, you know what? I'm sick of it, okay? I don't think Herm Edwards has coached in the NFL in almost 10 years.
Since 2008, the Kansas City Chiefs.
So it'd be 10 years. And do you have his head coaching record in front of you? Because it's well below 500, if I'm not mistaken.
It's pretty bad. Okay. Well, I mean, he hasn't coached in college since 1989 when he was a defensive back coach for San Jose State.
Okay, so I have an idea.
I mean, right? Holy smokes.
I have an idea. Put your name in the hat, okay? You will be the head coach, all right? You can run the spread offense. You have full say over the offense. I think what we should do is focus on defense, Aaron, right? Heavily recruit the defense in the Pac-12. That's going to make us a different football team. I'll handle the special teams, right? We'll have ball and special teams. And recruiting will be a breeze, dude. Old Town Scottsdale, great golf courses, spas for whatever reason, if they want to use a spa. We would take over the Pac-12 in a heartbeat. Cut whatever they're going to give this next coach. Cut that in half. You and I can split that.
That's
right?
Fine with me. It's still a lot of money right there.
It is still a lot of money. And you know what? They don't even have to give us extra budget for our assistant coaches. We'll pack it all in. But this is getting outrageous, dude. I mean, what is going on? And we also talked about, or we haven't talked about, the buyouts that these coaches are getting. Kevin Sumlin? That dude's getting paid $10 million in the next month. Guaranteed.
Yeah, guaranteed. And he can still get a job next year. Usually these buyouts, you can't get a new job for another year. That's why you see a lot of these coaches go to ESPN and CBS and Fox for a year, pretty much just taking the year off, because if they do take a job, they lose that money from the buyout. But his is, he can go next year and coach and go make another $6 or $7 million.
Golly.
He can make about $17 million this year just on the buyout. And then if he ends up finding a new job as well. So, whoo, baby.
I see you scratching your head, man. You're really thinking about maybe quitting the CBS Sports thing and just throwing your name in the hat to go start coaching.
Throwing it in there, just see what could happen. You just never know. These guys are desperate. They have money to spend. It's just a unique world right now. And then they're just looking for a big splash. They want a big, fun name.
I think Herm Edwards is a bit more like a ripple, but yes, in Arizona State, it could be a big splash.
It's name recognition. I think they see the name recognition. I think they'll think, oh, it's going to help us in recruiting, or fans are going to like it because they see him on TV every day.
Recruits now don't even know who Herm Edwards is.
Oh, they know him. They watch enough TV to know who he is. I don't know if they like him or not.
The guy who yells about Twitter and NFL football players? Come on, man. They don't know who Herm Edwards is. I'm 28, and I barely know who he is.
I'm just saying, though.
Out of control.
For him to jump back into college, and it's been – what has it been, about 30 years, 40 years since he's been in college football? I mean, 30 years? It's just like – the game has completely changed, even in the pro level, since he stopped coaching in 2008. The personalities of players have completely changed. To think that he could go in there and command the respect of a football team from day one when he hasn't been in a locker room in 10 years is a little mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, that's a little bit far-fetched. Okay, speaking of far-fetched, and I think this bit will attract a lot of our listeners, Dan Mullen, the newly named head coach at Florida, just hitting the ground running and visiting Georgia top recruit and commit five-star quarterback Justin Fields. He's a relentless recruiter. Aaron, you've spoken to this from a personal experience. He is talking to Justin Fields yesterday and today, and please let us know, what is he telling him? Because you're the one person that has the experience and the knowledge to relay this information.
You know what he's telling him right now? He's saying, look, you're going to go to Georgia. You're going to back up Fromm for 2 years. 2 years. You're going to sit behind Fromm for 2 years. And yeah, they're going to tell you they're going to make a package for you, and you're going to get X amount of plays. But go watch the film, kid, because right now Jake Fromm is playing great, and to think that they're going to give you a big enough package where you're going to have fun for 2 years is not realistic. You come to Florida, you're going to play right away. Look at what I've done with mobile quarterbacks. Alex Smith,
Tebow.
Tebow, Dak Prescott, and then Fitzgerald this year. Look at what I've done. All these guys have been Heisman guys. They've gone on to get drafted in the NFL and had success in the NFL. Obviously, Tebow up and down. But
and he recruited Cam Newton, too, as a quarterback. Yeah,
and he recruited Cam Newton and got him there. And Cam Newton probably would have played for him if he didn't get kicked out. So, I mean, he is a great pitch.
Being that blunt with him? Do you think he's being sincere and being hey, listen, you are not going to play for 2 years? Not up to what you want to play.
100%. It is so late in the game recruiting-wise that you have to come out guns blazing at this point. There's no dilly-dilly, chilling, hanging out, drinking a beer. Dilly-dilly, baby. There is none. It's you got to throw out your best stuff day one as soon as you walk in that door, because the kid's going to be on Georgia campus soon enough. And if he doesn't get him right now, it's over.
He's supposed to sign early signing period, correct? I mean, that's less than 1 month. So Dan Mullen throwing the book at him.
Yep. And I, you know, for me, if I'm in his shoes, if I'm in Fields' shoes, this is a tough decision. I know you committed to Georgia, and I hate when kids decommit. I think a commitment, it's your word, it's your bond to the school. And these kids just flip flop all the time. It's crazy. But listen, I'm trying not to be biased here. I think it's a great situation for him if he did go to Florida. I think Dan Mullen's a great coach. I think it's a great situation for him. It's a great offense that's built for him. I mean, Georgia's offense is not built for a mobile quarterback.
No,
it's not. They would have to change that offense around. And I'm sure Dan Mullen's something like that. How realistic do you think a coach can have two game plans built for his team in 1 week? Every other week you have to have a pro style offense ready,
and then all of a sudden they get paid the big bucks for. That's why you got to get five stars in there.
I haven't seen Georgia and Chaney creative enough to kind of mix up an offense. I guess they would have a whole offseason to play with it and try to figure it out. But
all right, hey, let me put you on the spot. Okay.
Yeah, bring it up.
I'm Justin Fields. All right. I'm calling Aaron Murray on my cell phone. I'm gonna make a decision. I know Aaron got recruited by Dan Mullen at Florida. I know Aaron went to the University of Georgia. Ready? Give me a short answer for your personal advice to Justin Fields. Ring, ring. Hey, Aaron, this is Justin Fields. I got a big decision coming up. Coach Mullen's all over me. I really love Georgia. What should I do?
Do what you feel best. Do what you feel is the right thing to do. You made a commitment to the University of Georgia. You committed for a reason. There was some reason why when you walked on that campus, when you met those coaches, when you sat down with them, there is that comfort, that love. You're from Georgia. Your family's close to Georgia. Go with your gut. And I know it's hard sometimes with the fanciness and Coach Mullen, the new coach, and you could be the guy right away and all that great talk. But deep down in your heart, if you know what the right thing to do is, and in your opinion, in your family, and hopefully surround yourself with the right people and talk with your family, your pastor, whoever it is. If you know what to do, do it, and don't look back, don't regret it, and go out there and just ball out wherever you end up.
Oh, I love it. Dude, you know what? You should really be a coach because you could be a great recruiter also. All right, listen, Justin Fields. If you listen to Punt and Pass, which I know you do, there you go. Whatever your decision is, Aaron Murray just helped you out. And guess what? I think Dan Mullen's been listening to Punt and Pass too, because he's been understanding that I've been on the horn saying Jacob Eason is staying at Georgia. I've been saying it all season long. And if Fields switches to Florida, Eason back in the saddle for the University of Georgia, then he's going to the NFL. after 2018. Okay, Aaron, last night, 7:30 p.m., the college football playoff poll, the fifth edition came out. Top four, of course, your boy Drew Butler had it down. Pat, number one, Clemson. Number two, Auburn. Number three, Oklahoma. Number four, Wisconsin. Undefeated Wisconsin finally gets in. I thought Georgia would be five. I don't know if that was biased or I had my blinders on, but they put Alabama at five, and Georgia is at six. I woke up this morning, I was listening to Golic and Wingo, and Kirk Herbstreit said, if Clemson were to lose a close game to Miami, Clemson could get in with two losses. It all depends on what's going to happen. I don't think there were too many surprises on the college football playoff poll last night. But again, we said it yesterday. It does not matter because this weekend is the college football playoff quarterfinals. Open your eyes. Look at the situation at hand. The football is real this weekend, and it's going to simply decide who gets in to the Final Four.
Yeah, I think I was a little surprised that Alabama was ahead of Georgia. I always felt that committee was, you know, kind of on the mindset of what have you done for me lately kind of thing. And obviously Alabama coming off a loss, I think that's the reason why I thought Georgia, and I'm pretty sure you did as well, why Georgia would be that fifth spot. But at the end of the day, we both agree if Georgia wins, they're in. If Clemson wins, they're in. If Auburn wins, they're in. If Oklahoma wins, Wisconsin wins, they're all in. Miami wins, they're in. But I don't agree about the if Clemson loses a close game, they're still going to be in the playoffs. I don't see how you could put a two-loss Clemson over an Alabama. It just doesn't happen.
No, I totally agree. And, you know, you just said it. If certain teams win, they're in. If Miami beats Clemson in the ACC championship,
they're in.
If Georgia beats Auburn in the SEC championship, they're in. And on social media last night, at Punt and Pass, Brian Smith, at BrianS0312, sent us a tweet. He said, do you remember what Coach Rick said 2 years ago? And he sent me an article. This is from December 14th, 2015, when Coach Rick came back to Athens after he had taken the Miami job, after being fired from University of Georgia, came back for the senior banquet. This was his direct quote, Aaron, December 14th, 2015. I am 100% convinced that the University of Georgia and the University of Miami are on a collision course for a national championship. He said that at the senior gala 2 years ago. So Coach Rick, newly minted 2017 ACC Coach of the Year, sounding prophetic. And that is not surprising to guys like you and I, Aaron, who know Coach Rick and how good of a guy and how smart he is and how good of a football coach he is. So congrats to him. Congrats to Miss Catherine and the entire family. Well-deserved. Georgia and Miami could be on a collision course for the national championship. And like our good friend, our brother Ryan Skates said during our live podcast taping, we were at the studios of 680 The Fan, if Georgia and Miami do play for a national championship, we need a follow-around camera for athletic director Greg McGarrity, because that would just be,
oh, he'd be stressing.
The most stressful, and I wouldn't say unfortunate, but certainly not what he was thinking when he fired Coach Rick just 2 years later, having to play him in a national championship game. I got a great stat here before we wrap things up.
Oh, no, another quick little quick Tennessee tidbit. Please. Before. Currently, they're looking at, they're probably going to be interviewing SMU's Chad Morris today.
Really?
So, yep.
And that's
there's
Tennessee.
Another name we get thrown out. That's okay, Tennessee cool. Today. Yeah, like there's that. Another name we get thrown out there.
Old friend of mine, Chandler Catanzaro, current kicker for the New York Jets, former kicker at the University of Clemson, or Clemson University, however you say it. He really spoke highly of Chad Morris, and he's a great recruiter, a great guy. So that would be a good hire for them, I think. A really good hire. Okay,
well, last, they've gone, you look at the 3 years, just going back to him real please. Quick. SMU 2-10, 5-7, and then 7-5. So he's kind of built the program back up, and he's only making $2.1 billion. So if Tennessee comes in there with that big $7 million salary, I'm sure he's going to be a little ecstatic and might be jumping on that. So that'll be interesting to see what comes out of that later this afternoon.
No question. And I'm seeing also that Jimbo Fisher probably going to Texas A&M. I mean, that's just probably what's going to happen. That news won't break until Florida State's done with their season after this weekend, playing a makeup game against Louisiana Monroe. One more statistic for you, Aaron, before we get going. I found this from Hunter Ansley on Twitter. He is a ESPN statistician. He said teams playing again a week after Alabama went 3-5 this year. Texas A&M beat Florida. LSU and Mississippi State both beat Arkansas. Their average score was 23 points to 32 points. That's 10 points worse per game. Five fewer scored touchdown. Five more touchdowns given up than those teams' season averages. Excuse me, 5 points, not five touchdowns. So 5-point differential for points scored and points allowed 1 week after playing Alabama. Well, guess what? Auburn is playing 1 week after playing Alabama. We don't know if Kerryon Johnson will be 100% healthy. He certainly won't be 100% healthy. We do not know if he will be playing. So if this stat rings true, Georgia seems like they're in really good position. And Aaron, I cannot wait until tomorrow because we're going to start breaking down these games and we're going to give the people exactly what they want to hear.
Yeah, exactly what they want to hear and what they need to look out for. Because we're coming in hot with some great stats, some great opinions, and getting everyone ready to rock and roll. Obviously, don't forget, we're going to be out and about this weekend. Sweetwater on Friday, Stats on Saturday, doing some events all over the place. So you'll see my pretty mug and Drew's ugly mug all throughout Atlanta the entire weekend. So I hope everyone's ready.
Everybody should be ready. If you're not ready, get ready. Come correct, because we're bringing it. All right, Aaron, anything else before we wrap this baby up?
That's it for me, baby.
Okay, sweet. So everybody, get ready for an awesome weekend. Again, Friday at Sweetwater, Friday at the SEC Fan Fair, Saturday at Stats. Hang out with us. Get interactive. Holler at us at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram, puntandpass@gmail.com. Aaron's at AaronMurray11. I am at DrewButler13. Check back in tomorrow for a fresh installment of the Punt and Pass podcast where we finally begin to break down what I'm calling the quarterfinals of the college football playoff. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow. See you.